Okay, folks, let's do this. I'm calling to order this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission for Wednesday, December 11th, 2019, to order. Please set your cell phones on stun and let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. Will you call roll, please?
Thomas Lukey.
Here.
Tom Gossecki.
Here.
Anthony Bromix, absent. Derek Nimitz, absent. Dave Costellano.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Ogie.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
Present. We have a quorum, so let's keep moving along. Next is the approval of minutes from November 13th. Any changes, modifications, motions, what say you?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the minutes from November 13th, 2019.
Second. Motion and second. Any discussion? Be there none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? They're out there to read. As the chairman's report, all of the minutes, including audio of this fabulous meeting and all the previous fabulous meetings are on the website. If you sign up ever at the desk, you get updates, cool stuff. We try to put as much, if not all, of the things that we address onto that website, so we show that there's ways that we can do this a little bit better. We're here to make sure that this $275 million man-made flood control project that also has a recreational component is maintained the way it was designed by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Because if that doesn't happen, you can see by the yellowing pictures what happens to something of this magnitude if it's not maintained. We're still working through the deferred maintenance that we inherited after the flood of 2008. We're far better off and far better prepared than we were prior to that. However, this is still managing Mother Nature. If you have 10 gallons of water for your 5-gallon bucket, you're going to have some challenges. Be that said, first and foremost, let's make sure that that does not happen again as we all sit here continuing to work as a community beyond the parameters of the geopolitical boundaries and realize that water doesn't understand that. And it's going to flow to where it flows. And most of the water in this watershed obviously goes to the Little Cal, which goes to Lake Michigan. So 'tis the season with nice little kid voices. I like it. So that's enough for me. The next is the finance report and approval of the claims for December 19th. We'll need a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of claims for December of 2019 and for the amount of $381,564.89.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
Tis the season when it gets cold, less and less work gets done, so that's why you see a less than what we've been seeing on our claims list. Usually we've been averaging around $1 million. So as always, we'll go to the higher ones, and then if there's any particular questions, I would be happy to answer. Ellis Construction for $144,355.23. That's Harrison Street Bridge Project Pay Estimate 4. That's one of the final or closing payments to them. There is a final walkthrough that will be occurring this Friday for some punch list items. We still have the retainage held until the complete project is closed out. But for everyone, the bridge has been open now for a couple weeks. And so that's a good thing, long overdue, but it's finally done. $65,050 for Patrick for the Lake Station levee design. We have $21,276 for the N206 gate repair, and I will tell you that is the gate that is immediately west of Calumet Avenue on the Hammond side behind the church.
All right.
It was damaged during the 2018 flood event, and we got all of our permits, we got the proper equipment. What was happening is the flap gate needed to be repaired, so that has been repaired at this point in time. CNH mowing for $23,300, that was the final mowing for 2019 that occurred, and we'll pick that back up in the spring of 2020. City of Lake Station was $18,691.02 for the watershed stormwater management plan that you guys had approved for them. and so they're slowly drawing down on that number. Beyond that, if there's something else, we have some tree program dollars for both the trustees and the town of Munster, and that will be done for the year because it's getting too cold to plant trees. That's it.
All right, any questions with regards to what's on the claims for this month? So the tree thing is, are the trees in? Is that just to buy trees for the spring?
No, the trees are in.
Okay.
So the way the program works is they ask for the money. We give them a conditional okay. Once the trees are in, they give us the okay. They sign off on the bill. We go out and inspect to make sure that the trees have been planted. They get reimbursed.
10-4. And the City of Lake Station and their watershed project, is there a deliverable on that?
There will be a stormwater plan at the end of this.
Anticipated to be when?
You approved that 2 years ago.
I understand. When? So we don't know? I thought there was a fire and a flood and a lot of things happened, so...
I'll ask Mecca, who is in charge of that plan.
Okay, but they asked for a draw.
Well, because they have provided, they've done work on it to provide the thing, but they haven't closed it out and finalized their stormwater plan, and now they have a change in administration, so hopefully that just all gets accomplished.
I understand. Any other questions for Dan on paying the bills?
So Dan, we had a final, a final mowing?
Yes.
Since the last meeting?
No, not since the last meeting. They missed the deadline for claims.
Okay.
For the November meeting. Even though we had a revised, they really were getting to the end, so we decided that they don't get to go on. So this was actually, they completed this at the beginning of November.
Okay. Now, for Harrison Street, this is not their final billing?
No, it's the final billing, but there's still, we have retainage held for it, and I think there's some couple minor issues that they've got a bill for still, some minor concrete work, but we haven't released the final numbers until we're satisfied with what we designed and what they constructed. So it's 10% of whatever the, I'm sure on Project Tracker will tell me, but there's an amount still remaining for Harrison. Remaining is the 369,000. So until all that, until we're satisfied with it, which I wouldn't imagine 100% of it, we may release some of the retainage, but you know, my key thing is, number one, is the making sure the concrete and the sidewalks are all done, the bridge is open and the deck is fine, but also the grass growing. That's always been, you know, you always stick that at the end and then we end up with dirt and then it just doesn't work. So that won't be released, I can't imagine, until we start seeing something happening over there.
Any other questions? We got a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Mayer.
Yes.
Robert Ogie.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Enthusiastic yes. Moving along, Mr. Repay.
Really briefly, we have some projects that are going on right now. We have some small maintenance issues with beavers and causing the issues with the blockages, so we're taking care of that on a case-by-case basis. Marshalltown levee, there was a portion, if you remember, had sloped or had slumped down a little bit and caused for the protection to be less than the 100-year. After we paved it, there was once again some issues in that levee. We worked with Natalie and the Army Corps to design a fix for that. They met out there on site today to see how they're going to best fix it, which means to increase or to better produce the 2 and 3 to 1 slope that we need. So it's a small project, but something that needs to be fixed. And once again, we're not going to be able to plant grass, so we're going to have to do something to make sure we stabilize the banks while the snow is flying this winter. Lake Station levee, we're still continue to do the engineering and design work to determine the best way to go forward and protect that area from the continuing flooding that occurs. Later on in the agenda, we have the culvert inspections under 8094. Those are 8-foot culverts. There are 4 of them. They're approximately 500 and 20 feet long. They run from north to south underneath the expressway. So every 5 years we have to videotape and clean those out, and luckily this is the year. So we're going to advertise for that. You probably award in January or February, and they'll start soon thereafter.
Is there a timing benefit to doing it when it's cold? I mean, assume before it starts, you know, being freeze-thaw and rain. We prefer not to do it during that time.
Yeah, you don't want to do it because they have to coffer dam both sides of it, and you usually want to make sure the water doesn't penetrate that, especially over the top of the coffer dam. So I would hope that they would want to do it in the February-March neighborhood when it's cold and not during the April-May rainstorms that we generally get. But last 2 years we had a couple things going on in February. So we're gonna do the best to get it done as quickly as possible. There's a couple contractors that have learned from the last time that we did it. The first time we did it was a learning experience as to how they needed to stop the water. And then the best practice is to go in there and clean it out. They ended up using a bobcat, which was pretty effective, as opposed to doing it by hand. That was how much silt is built up in those culverts. So pump stations, as we continue to secure them and to check them, everything's working fine. The drone survey, as I stated in the, I think the work study session, is ongoing. They've completed the drone survey from Lake Michigan all the way to the state line, and then Hart's Ditch from the confluence all the way back to Dyer. They're working on Deep River, and then we're working with the Lake County Drainage Board to find the contractor for the Hart Ditch repair that we've identified, as well as working with Natalie and the Corps to fix the area that didn't settle as much as they were hoping for at Wicker Park. So, and Christopher Burke is going to submit our plans on our behalf to the Army Corps for approval, and that should be done in spring. So that's the revised short report. Like I said, most projects are wrapping up. There are some minor repair maintenance ones that we're doing, but nothing large at this point in this late season.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Repay? What's going on in the world as it pertains to this issue?
Now I can talk about anything you want.
Got it? All right. Update, Ms. Mills, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. How are you, ma'am?
I'm good, thank you. Dan stole my thunder.
Sorry.
So
he always does.
That's the update for the Wicker Park area. In project mitigation, they're pretty much done for the season. They're working on their monitoring report for the year, which summarizes what they've done, what species they've like the plantings, the treatment processes that they've done throughout the years, just so we can see, like, are they on track? So they're going to be working on that, preparing that document for us for review. Hobart, they are also wrapping it up. They have done some more invasive species removal and seeding, but they are concluding their work as well for the year. Lastly is the leaky wall. They are still working their submittal process, but I mean, they can't work now. It's too cold. According to the specifications, they can only place the ceiling. It has to have overnight temperatures of 40 degrees on a consistent basis. So we still want them to be prepared and to push those submittals through, just in case, who knows, if there will be 40 in the future. So they are working that process. But that's their contract completion date is March of 2020. That's all I have. Are there any questions?
I have a question. Sure. With regards to the leaky wall and their completion date, did they give you a time frame for once it's over 40 and, you know, all the moons align and they can actually do the work, on how long they think it's going to take?
That is their schedule. They provided a schedule which shows that they will be done in March.
I understand. Is that assuming that they start in April? Is it? I mean, how many weeks or days do they think it would take to do the work that they contracted for?
It's about 2 weeks in the field.
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
How about the trash rack at Katie Marsh Ditch?
It's been ordered.
So ETA.
They're on the same timetable, March. It's the same contract.
Oh, it's the same contract.
Yes. Okay.
We don't get to see Ms. Mills very often. Any other questions?
Okay, Natalie, I'll finish up. I see that somehow the contractor planted something on the NIPSCO easement, and now we have to pay to have it cut down.
Yes.
Or NIPSCO's going to take it down, and we have to pay to replant.
Yes.
So why is that on our dime?
So what happened there, NIPSCO apparently has, and so honestly, I don't speak all the right real estate terms. So David, you might can speak real estate better than I can. But just like in regular terms, there were trees planted on an easement, a pipeline easement that is owned by NIPSCO. Shouldn't have happened. Because they can come at any time to do an inspection, you know, if there's an emergency and they need to dig up that area, they would need to remove those trees. The trees should have never been planted there to begin with. It was not identified in the plans and specs that that easement existed. So unfortunately, they have to remove it. They're going to remove it at no expense to us, but we will have to pay to have the trees planted in the same footprint.
Well, if AES had called 811 before they dug, they would have been located there and they would have known they were on an easement.
There's so many things that didn't go right with that. I don't agree. I don't disagree with you. We should have called. It just didn't go right.
So
I don't
the taxpayer
disagree
gets stuck with the bill.
Always.
Sadly.
Why doesn't AES eat it?
Because
like
we didn't. I mean, but we also didn't identify it in the drawings either.
Well, I'm sure the contract calls for them to do their due diligence.
That is true. That is true.
What if we don't want to pay?
Tom, we'll tell them we need a credit for the Harrison Bridge snafu.
There you go.
Oh, there
negotiation.
You go.
All right, thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just thought I'd kill a few more minutes.
All right, anything else from Ms. Mills? Thank you, ma'am.
All right, you guys have a great holiday season.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, regards to resolution 219-03, I make a motion that we go ahead and table this after some further review with the commission.
Second.
So there's a motion to table and a second. Do we need discussion on this? No. All right, all those in favor of tabling this until we have our meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve resolution 2019-04 and the interlocal agreement with the Maryville Stormwater Utility Board for the Kaiser Ditch East Tributary Flood Control Improvement project in the amount of $61,000.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Real quick, Mr. Repay.
You have already approved the application. This is just something, was it perfunctory? That needs to be, I like that. That needs to be approved.
Thank you.
Scrabble.
All right, so we did this already once. Let's do it as again, just to make sure we all are on the same page. Ms. Lambert.
Tom Schinske.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the Executive Director to advertise for bids on the I-94 culvert inspection project.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Discussion. We kind of talked about that already, so this is just a motion to let Dan put that out there. Just out of curiosity, Dan, how long will that take before that makes the public?
Before it,
you're advertising for bids.
It would probably be later this month would be the start of the advertising. We have to do it 2 weeks and not the same week, so probably it will bleed into January for the bids to be hopefully opened in January. But as we mentioned in executive set or work study, that January 8th is an early meeting for next year, so it may, you know, go off into February meeting depending.
Because I'm just thinking about the timing you mentioned, is if it's better for them to be able to do it when everything's frozen, is, you know, they keep that in consideration with all of the bureaucratic things that need to be done, and if we could expedite things on our end.
Well, all the bureaucratic permits, I believe, are complete. It's just a matter of getting them in to inspect it and to bid on it. And a couple of them have done this, or a couple of them bid on the on this 5 years ago when we did it for the first time. So it should be no surprise to them as to what needs to happen.
Driving a Bobcat underneath the expressway. How cool is that? All right, any other questions? Discussion? All right, we have a motion and a second. Ms. Lambert.
Tom Quincy.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert
Ochi. Yes.
Will Von
Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes, ma'am. All right, good luck with that. Just efficient as always. Statements to the board from the floor is next up. If you'd like to address the board as far as helping us make sure things like that, pictures, scenario from September 2008 doesn't happen again, please come up. Say hello. Yes, sir.
Hi, Tom Sillage, 3820 Road Street, Hobart, Indiana. I want to wish the commission a Merry Christmas and a good holiday. I wanted to ask Dan about the culvert that's by Rosser Lake. Right now it's we got a trapper out there, but the culvert runs through about 10 lanes there on the interchange of I-65 and 8094 in the loop there, and it's got a big gate valve there. My Lake Station was out there today. We cleaned it out to get water flow because it was flooding the park that I represent for Hobart Township. So just wanting to touch base to make sure that we, because that we have three natural springs in Rosser Lake that feed that lake, and it has to go west, and it has to go where we've had some issues where the phragmites now have taken over the inside part of that area, and I think it's choked off the flow. Used to have three fishing piers on the north side of the lake that are about 3 foot underwater where you could fish off at one time. It's the property Gary. Gary owns that property, I think, Dan, is that right? That property to the west on that, and we need to get in there some way to retrench that because it hasn't been looked at in a while. So I don't know, I can get Bill Emerson, I talked to him about droning it to see what it looked like from a drone. I don't know if we can, we have to get in there to look at things and see how it is on the other side, but it's becoming an issue on my park. It's washed up off my shoreline on the south side in a boat ramp, and the water was all the way up in the people's backyard. So there's one drain there, and it was mud packed. So I just wanted to make sure that
Dan.
Yeah, I mean we could take a look at it. This is the just for visual purposes. It's the 94 I-65 interchange. If you were taking 94 eastbound and you wanted to go 65 southbound where that Ridge Road, where you can go Ridge Road or where you can continue down 65 south, that's the interchange where Rosser Lake interchanges. It does cross underneath 65 and then it ultimately makes its way north under 94 through and under Martin Luther King. It's a complicated interchange because we have multiple culverts in that area and something that we have to look at. Sometimes it's blocked on the actual interstate itself at the interchange that may cause that to all back up. So we'll just take a look at it.
So who normally has that responsibility? Is that the county or NDOT?
It's technically an NDOT culvert that runs underneath that expressway.
Okay.
But when it comes through our system where we call it the boomerang, which the boomerang runs from Martin Luther King on the north side of the expressway, and then it ties into the I-65 interchange. So it'll run underneath that in that vicinity, comes underneath our levee. So, but it's usually blocked further to the south of where it comes into us at. It's not our levee that's the block. Generally, it's the block that comes underneath 94.
Okay.
We've dealt with this before. We've dealt with it, and on occasion, believe it or not, mattresses and other things get stuck in here.
Yeah. Well, and we had talked about all the culverts under the expressways, and there's a multitude of bureaucracies that have the direct responsibility, but after something happens, they're all going to sit in this room and, you know, yell at us. So
so we just tell NDOT, well, that's what we're doing. We get permission to go on NDOT property. They allow for it. They sometimes bring out a safety truck for us because we're working off the shoulder of the expressway. We've done this before. So they, what are they? Right.
Well, I'm just thinking as far as all the culverts that are along the expressways, if we put eyes on them, we just have a running log, if nothing else, and when we're taking it and looking at it, and if Tom or anybody else that's in the community goes through that, that we kind of at least have some opportunity to do that, because at the end of the day, it's going to be something that, you know, gets missed or is overlooked, and I sure as heck don't want to do that.
Next week, I'll go out there with Tom.
Yeah, because that whole thing, because isn't that this tying into one of the pitches that we got from Miraville a couple of months ago? And
no,
that whole thing up there, that this is south of that. That's south of this.
Yeah, this water is actually north of Ridge Road or 37th Street.
Okay.
So that's where Tom's water is going. The water that's was talking about through Miraville is south of, not Liverpool, whatever that is, Old Ridge Road, which is about 10 blocks away, 10 blocks to the south.
Just for comfort level and to reiterate something we've had conversations about multiple times, but that interchange with all the things that go underneath there and all the unique engineering that we inherited, that we should continue to take that into consideration anytime anybody's out working over there. That get as much bang for the buck and putting eyes on some of these as we possibly can. Because I have learned here that beavers and phragmites are very, you know, prolific.
And mattresses.
Very well said. Yes, and so.
All right, thanks for bringing that to our attention, Tom. So
yes,
we'll work through that.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time. Like I said, I wish you guys a happy holidays and all the help that you've given me for the last couple of years. It's very well appreciated as a trustee. And also, I'd like to introduce a person tonight. His name is Chris Wells, I'm sorry. He's a new councilman for Hobart on the west end for District 5. So me and him, we live pretty close to each other in a situation where the water is. And I just wanted to introduce you guys to him. So we work together as a team on all this.
Outstanding. So, Councilman-elect, congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Anything you'd like to ask, question? What the heck, you're here.
I'll say with Tom saying that, I think you're just, Dan was just talking about Turkey Creek Lateral 6 basically there, and that area there, this Stinky Creek project, are the ones that really affect my area, because I am in the very northwest corner of Hobart, and that area is flooding pretty rapidly most times there, and so that's one of the major issues in my subdivision, the subdivisions around us that people complain about. So I said, why don't you come out here? First, I just kind of say, hi, this is who I am Chris Wells. So I'm a teacher in Hobart and live in that same area for 45 years, so I'm going to hopefully be coming out to see you guys more often here so we can try to work on what we can do to help that area not flood as much. I know Hobart just passed a $5 million bottom project to take care of some work over there, but it's the Stinky Creek part of the project, which is going through the Hillman Heights subdivision north towards New Chicago area. And doesn't quite help the south end by where Hobart Lilly Fields are going to be at and down by the Liverpool Road coming out that way. So we need to try to figure out what we can help with the flight in that area as well. So we got a pleasure to see you guys, and thank you so much for having the time. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Going once, going twice, going three times. Giddy up. All right. Everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year. Thank you very much for your help in trying to make sure things like that in 2008 doesn't happen again. Enjoy the reason for the season, and hopefully we'll see you again in January. Mr. Castellanos.
Why don't we starting off for December, why don't we start at the other end?
Mr. Castellanos.
No, that end over there. Ron, why don't you start?
No, I'm asking you to start.
Well, I'm asking Ron to start.
I'm skipping you, Bob.
No, I'm going to start. I got good news.
Well, go ahead.
All right. First of all, I'd like to say happy holidays to everybody and a nice Merry Christmas, all right? And just let you know that on our last show, we had Congressman Pete Vlaskowski on, and he gave a very good...
What show is that, Dave?
That's a good old show that the Little County Men has. It's called the WLTH radio program, 92.7 FM and 1370 AM. And everybody watches and listens to. But anyway, he talked about all the accomplishments that he's made for Northwest Indiana and that how he's looking forward to his basic retirement and at the same time looking forward to still working within the community. But one thing he did say that left everybody in a good mood, he figures that we as a people in Northwest Indiana, Republicans, Democrats, white, black, Hispanic, that one thing about this Northwest Indiana, we may disagree on a number of things, but we still work together, and that's the true essence of this whole community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ochi.
Just want to wish everyone a happy holidays and best wishes for the new year for everyone.
Mr. Gazdecki.
Yeah, echo those comments and thank everybody for coming out. It's cold outside. Hopefully we get some good boots on the ground next spring and get some projects done.
Mr. Wyszlinski.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, happy New Year. It was a productive year, and we're looking forward to a better 2020. So, roar it in.
Mr. Whitaker.
Glad to see the councilman-elect out from the city of Colbert, as well as any other folks that are engaged in the public service. Official public service capacity. I know everyone is sitting in the audience is in some shape, form, or fashion. So glad to see you guys out as well. And again, be safe this holiday. Best wishes to everyone's family. I'm glad to see that we're making some accomplishment with our bid process and our minority participation encompassed in that, as well as being held responsible and accountable. I think that is something that we've talked about for some time now. Whether it's Mr. Sellick coming up to the podium and informing us and updating us, or whether it's us holding our vendors accountable, it all goes hand in hand. And it's something that we need to make sure that we can continue to do. And we want to continue to reinvest. That's how we continue to reinvest in Northwest Indiana, which is the place where we all live. And we all want to make better. Either we live here or we're invested in here. And we certainly do want to make sure we want to take the time to make it better across the board, not limited to geopolitical affiliations, as our chairman says from time to time, because water definitely knows no boundaries. But I want to make sure from an economic development standpoint as well that, we enhance our community overall. So I certainly want to say best wishes to our fellow commissioners and you as a public audience, and look forward to seeing everyone next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ware.
Congratulations, Councilman-elect. Thanks for coming and sharing your thoughts, representing your constituents. I just want to wish everyone a happy holiday. Enjoy the time with your family over the holidays. Best wishes and safe travels if you are visiting family and others.
Mr. Wicklund.
Nothing to add.
Mrs. Lambert. Nothing. Come on, one time.
Merry Christmas.
There you go. All right, thank you, everybody. The next meeting, we're looking at January 2020. The Roaring Twenties are with us. Second Wednesday, I'm sorry, looks like the 8th. Check the website as far as the location, and we'll entertain a motion.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Motion is second. Thank you very much. Have a happy holidays. I hope Santa brings you everything you want.